Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We'll be in-depth on how much is too much when it comes to sharing the cost of our health care, but we begin with the view of the political junkie about the week gone by. It was a busy one, and the week ahead in Washington, and it's a busy one. Ken, welcome. Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Carrie.
If you have questions about President Trump's interview with the New York Times, the Mueller investigation, Jared Kushner's testimony today, or congressional politics, 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter at CarrieNPR. Ken, I have to say, I read the transcript of the Times interview, which I think is a different experience than just hearing excerpts of it or, you know, the paraphrasing of it. And I caught myself annotating many of the president's remarks to the Times with some facts. I mean, it's wide ranging, but it's also some real circular thinking without a lot of specifics behind it. What was your take on it?
Exactly the same thing. I mean, I listened to some of the excerpts because I could hear the astonishment, or at least I could see in the face of the Times reporters, the astonishment or the look of jaw-dropping and some of the things he said. But I read the transcript as well, and it was vintage Trump. And for all the advice that he's been getting from his attorneys and political allies saying that, you know, just don't open yourself to this kind of scrutiny, he just lets it flow when he starts talking.
You know, I pulled out one section here. At one point, he's back to talking about Hillary Clinton, and he's talking about her allegedly opposing sanctions for Russia. And he says in the interview, she was opposing sanctions. She was totally opposed to any sanctions for Russia. And then Peter Baker, one of the reporters for the Times, says, when was that? And Maggie Haberman says, do you remember when that was? I don't remember that. And Trump says, I just saw it. She was opposed to sanctions, strongly opposed to sanctions on Russia. I mean, there are, you know, usually a president would be required to produce the facts that support an assertion like that. There don't seem to be any facts on that.
No, and you know something, we also see another pattern when he does tweets. He'll do a tweet and people say, where in the world did that come from? And then we'll realize that 25 minutes earlier on Fox and Friends or somewhere on Fox News, some assertion was made and that would lead to a Trump tweet. It's just remarkable. Well, I mean, it's just remarkable.
That's all you can say. So what did you make about what he said about Jeff Sessions?
Well, you know, it's remarkable.
Well, okay,
Jeff Sessions,
banning that word for the rest of the conversation.
Yeah, I don't know if that's possible, but I mean, Jeff Sessions was the first senator to, back when Donald Trump was seen, the candidacy was seen more as a joke or of entertainment value than anything serious. Sessions was the first senator to endorse him. As a matter of fact, I had him on the Political Junkie, and I asked him, he said, any chance you might join the administration? He said, no.
Oh, really?
But you know something? I mean, and to say that, and this is the thing about Trump and loyalty. When he's loyal to somebody, it's there's no questioning it. But if he feels disappointed, and of course he feels so disappointed that Sessions had to recuse himself because he may not have told the truth the first time about what Russians he met during the transition period or things like that. And he said, you know, I never would have picked you. I would have gone with somebody else. And you wonder, and he talks about how he's really let the president down and disappointed the president. I don't see how in the world he could last as attorney general, despite what both Sessions and the White House have said.
Yeah, apparently the president is tweeting today, quote, the beleaguered attorney general should look into Clinton. Why is he so obsessed with Hillary Clinton?
He's obsessed with
Hillary
Clinton.
Oh, my gosh. Let it go. It's over.
Well, that's why he came up with this Election Integrity Commission, because, of course, the only reason he lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton in his mind is the vote of 3 to 5 million people here illegally who all of them to a person voted for Hillary Clinton. He can't get past that. And even you see Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who has taken Sean Spicer's role, and even then some. I mean, Sean Spicer, you almost kind of knew that he was forced to say some of the things he said, and he didn't believe it. Sarah Huckabee Sanders looked like she believes everything, and basically she'll say, well, you know, why are we investigating this president when Hillary Clinton did X, Y, and Z with Ukraine and secret emails and things like that? It's just an obsession that I can't see going away ever.
A word here on Sessions, he was surprisingly circumspect. Maybe you'd expect that of him, Ken, knowing him better. I mean, you know, the questions, let's listen to what he said at the press conference, and then we can talk about that.
We love this job, we love this department, and I plan to continue to do so as long as that is appropriate.
I guess that's the royal we. I don't know what,
yes, and
what
as
that's
long as
about.
It's and as long as it's appropriate, meaning as long as the president has my, you know, has confidence in me, or at least wants me to stay on. And I just don't see that changing. I mean, the fact is, there will always be everybody, the time you look at him and every time you look at Sessions doing something on behest of the president, you just wonder how much the president is looking over him and saying, okay, can he survive this crisis or not? So I don't see a long future for not only for Jeff Sessions, but Reince Priebus, the White House chief of staff, who earlier expressed disappointment or unease with Anthony Scaramucci coming in as communications director, and now he said he's 100% behind him. You just wonder if Reince Priebus has a future in the administration as well.
Okay, so you're saying you wouldn't be surprised if Sessions ends up, kind of having to leave the job, especially when Trump is calling him beleaguered.
I agree, and I think. Jared Kushner needs a job, and Secretary of State is not bad for something like that.
He hasn't thrown his vice president under the bus yet. Why?
No. Mike Pence is the ultimate loyalist, and of course, it must be interesting what Mike Pence is going through, because he knows better than anybody else how beleaguered and how under the siege the president is. But Pence has never said anything, although he did say there was something he said that said, well, this happened before I came on board. So you just wonder if he's, look, I don't know what his plans are. I think he's just being the loyal vice president. He's basically become the kind of vice president we were used to before the Mondales and the Cheneys and the Bidens became strong partners. He just seems to be saying yes,
just
sir.
Kinda
yes, sir.
Invisible. Yeah. He wrote an op-ed for Fox this weekend, Ken, and he said President Trump has signed on the 6-month anniversary. President Trump has signed more than 40 bills and nearly 40 executive orders on everything from health care to energy, infrastructure, and more. Clearly a response to 6 months, you own Washington, basically, and what do you have to show for it?
You know, you own Washington. Meanwhile, it's so interesting that the Republicans have the House, the Senate, and the White House, and yet Donald Trump, with the collapse of the health care bill last week, said, the Democrats still own Obamacare. Now, I understand why he says that, but the thought of Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi taking the fall for the failure of the Affordable Care Act, or at least health care in this country, is just ludicrous. And also the fact that Trump will do everything he can to make Obamacare fail, like by withdrawing support for insurers.
Well, he hasn't done that yet, though.
He hasn't done it yet, but I mean, he has the power to do it. And if he wants to take this peak of his to such a level where he's just going to make it even worse or tougher for people to get insurance, and then people can rush to him and say, oh, please give us an alternative to Obamacare. That's not the way to do it, and to make more people suffer. Again, he has not done that yet, but that's not out of the car. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
The Political Junkie's with us, as he is on Monday mornings. If you have a question about politics for him, a quick tweet, at @CarrieMPR. Quick call, 651-227-6000. Ken, supposedly, I don't understand how this is going to work. Supposedly, the Senate Republicans are going to try to hold a vote tomorrow on repealing Obamacare, but very few people have actually seen the bill. Can they deliver on that? And what are the implications of that?
See, that's it's a great question to ask Mitch McConnell, who has not really answered it. I mean, this is basically repeal Obamacare. It's not repeal and replace. It's not something that McConnell agrees with. And yet I think he wants to do, basically, he knows that he doesn't have the votes for it to happen. There are at least seven Republicans who will not vote for this. Susan Collins, Rand Paul, Rob Portman, a whole bunch. Shelley Moore Capito, Lisa Murkowski, there's a whole bunch. Jerry Moran, Mike Lee. I just named at least seven or eight right there. So that leaves the Republicans maybe with 43, 44 Republicans to vote for a straight repeal. He knows he doesn't have the votes, but maybe he can go to Trump and say, look, I did what I could do. This is the votes just don't exist. Let's go on to something really easy like tax reform.
Oh, my gosh, no.
I know exactly, which is not easy at all.
Right.
But I'm surprised that, you know, remember John Boehner, the good soldier, went along with like 60 or so votes to repeal Obamacare, knowing it would fail because there was a guy named Obama in the White House who would veto it. So it was easy to repeal it back then, and he would go along with it. But I kind of suspect that McConnell's like, okay, look, you want to have this repeal vote? Sure, let's have the vote, and then we'll show the president and the American people that we need something better than this. But the problem is that the Republicans and the president, judging by his tweets, have yet to reach out to any Democrats. And Democrats, whether it's sincere or a political posture or whatever, say, look, we'll work with you, but you got to get this repeal Obamacare out of your mind first before we'll sit down with you.
Well, we have a question about that from a caller to George in Roseville. Hi, George. What do you want to know from Ken?
Well, I'd like to know if the Democrats are meeting at all or preparing improvements for Obamacare. It seems like Republicans and Democrats agree there are problems, but are the Democrats preparing for improvements? That's my question.
Well, that's a good question, George, and they'd better be, because that's the same thing I said about Republicans all these years. They were talking about how terrible Obamacare was, and there were a lot of problems with Obamacare. I remember during the Clinton-Bernie Sanders debates, when Bernie Sanders said, we need to change Obamacare because of all the problems, Hillary Clinton, and I remember Chelsea Clinton even tweeting that Bernie Sanders is out to destroy Obamacare because it took us so long to get this done. Hmm. But so the Democrats had better have come up with something. There was a good article in the New York Times, I think this morning, or was it yesterday? Or I think it was this morning, that talked about all the Democrats are working to be more than just an anti-Trump party.
That was over the weekend. Yeah.
It was over the weekend.
Yeah.
I mixed these days blur so quickly. But I mean, basically, they have to come up with something. And
let me note this before you move on. You know, there are Democrats like Tim Kaine has a bill with, I think, a number of co-sponsors on it for a reinsurance program, which is something that Minnesota has done. So you give a little bit of a buffer, some protection to insurers who are in these exchanges. I mean, there are some specific ideas. Now, whether they have, you know, critical mass among Democrats, I don't know. But there are some plans out there for some fixes.
They absolutely are. And look, both parties, including Democrats, will agree that for many people, the premiums have gone up under Obamacare. Now, of course, more people have insurance than ever before, and that's the plus of the Affordable Care Act. But premiums are going up, deductibles are going up, and Democrats know they need fixes in the bill, whatever. Yeah. Fixes in the bill rather than wholesale replace and repeal. And if you can get a few Democrats and Republicans on the same page of that, it could lead to something.
You need a little espresso this morning, I think, Ken.
Twitches,
okay,
yes.
Here
I'm
comes,
having my own twitches.
Here comes your mystery sound of the week, your favorite part. Don't groan like that. Here it is.
Okay. I was increasingly disappointed in how so many of the members here of the media do their job, or rather don't do their job, the bias to which they come from it at. And as I mentioned a while ago, I think that there's become a very clickbait mentality among a lot of reporters where they're more interested in their clip or their click than they are about the truth and the facts.
Who is that very disappointed man? Who is, by the way, speaking a certain amount of truth there about clicks?
That was Melissa McCarthy on Saturday Night Live doing her best Sean Spicer. You know, it's funny. Sean Spicer, of course, having resigned as White House press secretary, and some people feel sorry for him, but if you listen to some of the things he said, and, you know, people, I mean, his worst critics say that he lied for the liar in chief.
Yeah.
But, you know,
From the very beginning, can he be forgiven for marching out there on day one to
on
the crowd size? It went downhill from that.
Well, it's hardly, talked about Hitler not having chemical weapons. I mean, the things he would say it was just boggle the mind. And you know, he had a very good reputation when he was a press secretary under Reince Priebus at the RNC. But it seems like all that has been squandered from day one when he basically told the media that they're all out to get Trump, and when Kellyanne Conway supported him as some of the guy with the alternate facts, the alternate truth. I mean, that's just beyond that.
Death
that
by a thousand cuts, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Ken, I'll talk to you next Monday. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Carrie.